You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
There is beauty in the church as we see so many people from so many cultures making up the church, as God has called so many people from so many cultures. And there's an opportunity to learn more about that here at the Multi-Ethnic Symposium at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We're going to talk with Dr. Prieto in just a moment about that. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Ele Prieto. He's the Associate Professor of Practical Theology and Director of the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Dr. Prieto, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, Sarah and Angie. I think that's what my second time coming to talk to you. Last time we talked about the Center for Hispanic Studies. So
yeah,
today we'll be talking about the Multi-Ethnic Symposium. So
I am really looking forward to learning more about the symposium that's coming up right around the corner. It's in May. Gives us some time.
It's not that far.
It's really not that far. And really, I wanted to talk about it now, so it gives our listener the time to prepare to attend. Because it takes a little time to make arrangements to come to St. Louis to participate in the Multi-Ethnic Symposium. Yeah. So the theme this year, Learning from Each Other, Catechesis that Raises Up Multi-Ethnic Leaders for the Kingdom. And this is taking place May 6th and 7th here in St. Louis. Looking ahead at the theme about catechesis, in what ways is catechesis part of the Lord's command in Matthew 28, verse 19?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, Andy. And it's not only the verse 19, but the next verse, because, you know, he says, you know, go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them the name of Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Then the following verse 20 says, teaching them, right? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So these verses, they are talking about how you go about making disciples. Probably you have heard that too. So this translation is not the best way, even ESV, because the emphasis is in the therefore go, which is a command imperative. In Greek, this is not the best way of translating that, but it's more like having gone. And some of you will be old to say, as you go, then you make disciples. So the emphasis, the command is in making disciples, not in going. As you have gone or you continue to go, then you make disciples. How you make disciples? In two ways. You baptize and teach, or you teach and baptize. You can reverse the order, right? Sometimes you have adults coming to your church. You don't baptize them right away. You teach them. Then you baptize. So baptizing and teaching go hand in hand. So, and this is catechesis, this is discipleship, this is teaching. The word there is didaskalein, so teaching. So I think it's why, you know, this verse was used, and I was the one picking the verse, and we discussed that because catechesis is not only once for all. See, this is really what it is. So it's a continual catechesis. Until you die, you are growing your discipleship in relationship with God, also in relationship with one another in the church. So we this is the problem we have with confirmation, right? We confirm the kids, then they are done. They say, no, you're not done. You just stop. So that's why we baptize when we have, you know, godparents with them helping to raise the kids in the Christian faith. We think that's just for pictures, right? It's so cool to be in church. It's more than that. So are you really willing to be a godparent, a godmother? So then what is behind that? So this is also has to do with catechesis, you know, because you're praying, you're helping them, teaching them to grow in that faith. And this is across the board, right? Doesn't matter if you were born and raised in the Lutheran church, like many of you. I wasn't, even though I joined in young age, 16, 17, I was confirmed. But, you know, or if you come from outside, like I did. So that's the way we go about making disciples. And catechesis is a key factor on this. So,
yeah, there's a strong relational part of that when you're talking about the relationships that we have as pastors and as confirmands, but then all throughout our lives, bringing up godparents. You know, I take my responsibility as a godmother very seriously with my two goddaughters. But I love that. Talking about those relationships in Matthew 28:19, what is What is meant by all nations? Talking about people and relationships, what is meant by all nations?
Very interesting, too. The word there is pantata etne, which comes the word ethnicity. So I think, you know, the word that we think about it here is this race, also the because the we have the ethos. They think that ethnicity comes from ethos, so all tribes, all people. And if you think about Mark 16, which is a kind of a parallel to this text, he's also talking about going to all nations, but more like the whole creation of God. And of course, here can be creatures, but because of Matthew, if of course you don't read the scripture alone, you read, you know, comparing with other verse, other chapters. So we take Mark 16 as Matthew, and we think about not only creatures, but the whole creation. Because God so loved the world, right? He means by that, all people, right? And we see that happening in the scripture, right? Especially in the New Testament, people going out beyond the people of Israel, right? And going beyond that. So I think this is very important for us to think about it, because otherwise, you know, we kind of... And if you think also about this, in the Old Testament, the nations came to God's people. God said, I chose you, and you're going to be a light to the nations. So if you think about this, the approach in the Old Testament was God's people and all the nations walking to God's people. In the New Testament, it's the reverse. God's people go to the nations. So it's centripetos, right? Walking away, walking to the center, walking away from the center. So in Christ, you know, in Jesus, he shifts that. So you're going to continue to be salt and light, like he says in Matthew, but now you will go to the nations instead of they coming to you. And I think this is very important also for us to understand the shift. And this is why ethnicity, this group of people, everybody, right? God is saying, go and preach the gospel to them, baptized.
So we're looking at the upcoming multi-ethnic symposium. What is a then multi-ethnic church?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes. I love your questions today. I think, you know, what is a multi-ethnic church? Well, if you go to Revelation chapter 7, you know, we see this big multitude of people before the throne of God from all tribes and languages and nations, right? So this is heaven, and heaven is perfect. On this side of grave, being a multi-ethnic church is not an easy thing. It's a big challenge. And why is that? So because we are predominantly Anglo church, LCMS. I'm an exception in the Lutheran church. And I know that being here in U.S. and also in Brazil, you know, and I graduated, we are 26 classmates. Only 3 guys didn't have a German last name in my class. So I know what I'm talking about. So, and it's very difficult. And you have to be careful. See, when I teach about this, you have to be loving and caring because, well, Luther was German. He was not Chinese or African. So what you would expect from the Lutheran church to be what we are, right? We are predominantly an Anglo church. But here and there, we have different examples of people coming to the church that are more kind of a multi-ethnic. Why I'm saying it's not easy? Because multi-ethnicity brings different things to the table, right? Brings different flavors, spice, if you think about food, smells, type of language, culture. And then, of course, that can have kind of a little conflict, a little crash there, right? Because we don't do things in this way too much because that's not the way my culture do things like this. So there are different ways of becoming a multi-ethnic church. And sometimes, you know, we can talk about that. We have some few examples here in St. Louis as well. But can we do things together sometimes? Yes. And sometimes maybe they will be doing separated things, right? Because they use different language, they use different hymns, even though you're producing hymnals in another language, but not for all of them. So we need to be sensitive to that. And now what's going to happen is, we are talking about the first generation, right? The first immigrants. The 1.5, which is are my kids, even though my daughter is 2.0 pretty much because she came under 12, is that the kids that are growing up here, they will become much more Americanized and they will be able to be in the church together. Even they will say that, you know, sometimes it's because they don't speak the mother tongue anymore and they will be confused. So they said, hey, I'm comfortable speaking English. So the first generation will be more like doing things sometimes separated and bringing together. And then the second generation will be more like, I'm part of this church. And I think this is the beauty of being a kind of a multi-ethnic church. We can sing together, we can praise God together, we can receive His gifts together, but we don't look alike. So I always tell my students, you know, when I walk to a church in St. Louis especially, but, you know, whenever I travel, I know that people have different perspectives. When you go to church, what you're looking for in the church, I pay attention to the stained glass windows, I like the pipe organ, I like this, I like that. Yes, that's, you know, hey, that's what I'm not really looking for, being honest with you. When I walk into a church, the first thing I try to see is there's somebody that looks like me in that church. That tells me a little bit about that church. And I'm not judging. I'm just saying, do I have somebody that really looks like me here or not? That's the first thing I do. The second one is, I told you before we start to record, so because I work with people with disabilities, people with special needs, I always try to see if there's anybody there that is Down syndrome, in a wheelchair, a blind, a deaf. That tells me a lot about that church too. So that's what I look for when walking into the church. So, and if I see that, so sometimes you walk in, you see pictures of the board of elders. I try to see if they have a little bit of representation there than only the Anglo people. You know, that's really talking about the challenge of this multi-ethnic symposium. Raising up the new generation is about that too. So, and I think we have to do that in a loving way, helping the congregations and the synod to see things like that, because this is not easy conversation, but it needs to be done. Yeah. And we can do it in a beautiful way, showing what God gives us in this multi-ethnic church. Continue to be Lutheran. We will be Lutherans either way, in that sense.
We're talking about the multi-ethnic church with the Reverend Dr. Ellie Prieto. We have more to talk about after a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Ellie Prieto, Associate Professor of Practical Theology and Director of the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, about the upcoming multi-ethnic symposium happening May 6 and 7 at Concordia Seminary, talking about catechesis that raises up multi-ethnic leaders for the kingdom. And before the break, you were talking about the multi-ethnic church. Let's talk more about that, the beautiful parts of multi-ethnic churches. You mentioned having examples of churches here in St. Louis that are doing things really well.
Recently I preached for the Lutheran Chinese missions here in St. Louis, you know, the Light of Christ there with Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This is a ministry that has been happening here in the last 25 years. It's very interesting. You know, they are with Emmanuel Olivet, with Pastor Rory Card. They have students from the EIT. They just had two deacons graduating, and we have a student vicar now, Nen Tian. He's in second year in the EIT. So they invite me to preach because they now are in that transition of calling a new pastor, right? So they do a bilingual service in the gym. A lot of people speak Chinese, but not all of them. You see this new generation, younger generation, they don't know too much. So this is why they do bilingual. But a lot of first-generation immigrants, they only speak Chinese, and that's really their mother tongue. So I was very impressed by the way they handled the service, and I had a translator translating me. You know, I don't know any words in Chinese, and if I say anything, I can get in trouble, so I don't try. But I think that's one example of that, right? So you see that another church that I appreciate is Timothy Lutheran Church. Pastor now, Jinger, is the pastor there, Pastor Andrew. Before him, you know, he has been there, I think, 4 or 5 years now, even longer than that. But if you walk in this sanctuary, they have flags from all over the world. And if you ask why they have the flags, it's because in a certain point in their life of that congregation, they had people from different countries representing that. And this is why they decided to have the flags there. So they have a lot of African immigrants, members of the church. You see them worshiping with the regular congregation. The director of music is, you know, Dr. Gina Knopp. She has an English or American last name, or German, because Knopp, right? But she's from South Korea. So she's Korean, and she plays the LSP, but she brings a lot of, you know, because of her training, she has different choirs singing in the church. So they also have a Vietnamese ministry going there too. They, Pastor Andrew, because his wife, you know, Caitlin, works with me in the seminary. So I always talk to Andrew. Sometimes he's on campus. And he is aware that more Hispanics are moving to the neighborhood. So he say, hey, maybe I need to be learning Spanish. They have members of the church that speak well Spanish. But just another example, you know, of church that are doing this, you know. And we have Ascension with Master Matthew Clark. You know, he has Nepalese people in his church. So, and they are doing things together sometimes, and they do things separate because they speak different language. So my own congregation that I go, you know, Christ Memorial, with Pastor Jeff Clater, which is a speaker for the Multi-Ethnic Symposium. He brings in also different, I mean, majority of the church is Anglo, but you see a lot of people that African-Americans, Africans from Africa, Ethiopia, other parts of Africa, Congo, us from Brazil. You see people from different ethnicities in the church. And he makes a point to highlight that sometimes, inviting them to read, to preach. We had a missions festival recently, and he invited a pastor from Ethiopia that is graduated from our seminary, and now he's pastor in Minnesota. He graduated from our program, EIT, and preaching for the church, you know, to kind of just show the congregation, this is what is happening in the LCMS. So I think there are many beautiful examples, and I'm just talking about St. Louis, you know, but you think about the whole synod, how many I know of other places that they're doing the similar thing. And I think that's the way we should go with this, you know, hey, as we help them to navigate, you know, because they come from different backgrounds. They are not Lutherans, most of them. Ethiopia, we have many Lutherans, of course, but we have many non-denominationals, many Pentecostals, and they come to study in our seminary or seminaries, and they need to know what we teach, what we confess, and they're eager to learn. And then you help them to use that in their context too, right? Because this is what you talk about, multi-ethnic, right? So we have to be aware that sometimes we have to explain or break down things, because for us, you take for granted, for them, what you're talking about. I never heard this. So I think that's a great way of doing it.
I think I just read that, if I understand correctly, to the best of our knowledge, we have the first two Lutheran Nepalese pastors in St. Louis now, mm-hmm. too, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Just really cool.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Yeah, we have. They are ordained. So they just graduated from our seminary to our EIT. And we have more students. Of course, we have groups of immigrants, right? We had Nepalese. It was a time that we had them here. We have Bosnians, you know. We have, I think, the population of immigrants, they change according to the needs in the world, right? Mm-hmm. So Bosnians, Nepalese, now we are getting more people from Afghanistan lately or in the other parts of Africa. So, and this is why we have the CFNA, right? The Christian Friend of New Americans, doing this ministry with refugees and immigrants, which is a big challenge too. Mm. So I think there are so many beautiful things happening, you know, and it's important for us to highlight them, because it's very easy to criticize and say nothing is happening. No, it's happening. Maybe it could happen more, of course, but it's happening, and we have to celebrate them.
What are we going to be challenged by, and what are we going to learn at the upcoming multi-ethnic symposium?
I think, for me, it's since I received this call four years ago to serve in this capacity in the seminary. And when they told me I would help to chair the multi-ethnic symposium, create pretty much the agenda for that or the program, I think the challenge will be for us to think like this. When you work with cross-cultural ministries or multi-ethnicity or multi-ethnic ministries, we have to realize this is a two-way street. Because sometimes we have, the way we think, because we like to teach and confess, you're going to sit down, you're going to teach you, which is true. We can teach, we can train, we can coach, but this is a two-way street. People that you're working with that come from different ethnicities, cultural background, they also have things to teach us. The way they relate to the Lord. So maybe they are new Lutherans or Christian Lutherans, but they have been Christians for a long time sometimes. They have a history of walking with the Lord before they became Lutherans. So, and that's one of the challenges of helping us to see that, yes, we can help, we can mentor them, but what can we learn from them? That maybe you help me to change my life, my piety sometimes. If you talk to Ethiopians, they take really serious about praying, prayer life. They have worships of prayer. They pray 4 hours. I mean, yeah, we do pray in our church, don't we? We have the collects, things like that. But exordis prayer, right, from your heart, is very difficult for a Lutheran to do sometimes. This is why sometimes as a pastor, sometimes you're in a meeting and, oh, pastor, you're going to lead us for prayer. I have been in homes that people, even I was there, and the head of the household said, I will pray. That's interesting. That's new, because usually, pastor, you're going to do that. People are afraid to, and I had so many people work with me sometimes. They said, pastor, the prayer I can really pray well is this Lord's Prayer. That's it. I said, really? Yeah, because that's the only prayer I know. So, well, I cannot, I get nervous. And then I took this guy with me in San Antonio to do mission among the homeless people. And then he says, now I learned how to pray, because they said, can you pray for me? They come with a prayer request, which is not really in the Lord's Prayer, right? Yeah. So what are you going to pray about this? So I don't know how to say. And that's another thing, too, that helps us to do something that takes us a little bit also out of our comfort zone. Another challenge that will be is relate to that is this. Think about that. How the way I'm raising up people to serve in the church, I need to let them serve. See, and this is, and I'm very thankful to my church. I'm really, so I'm in an important position in the seminary, and I know that. Some days I pinch myself and say, man, I'm director of this program, or those two programs, I'm working in the seminary. So I know that, was given to me the opportunity to learn, see, talking about this teaching. So all my degrees I got in Brazil and U.S., and all relate to the Lutheran Church. All my education has to do with the seminary in Brazil, or both seminaries here. I got a degree from Fort Wayne, another one from St. Louis, which I'm proud of it. And then the church let me do things. I'm part of the CTCR, I'm doing, but how many guys like me we have in the church, in the LCMS? Think about that. So we have Leo Sanchez, we have other names, but we don't have too many. So this is another challenge too, it's not only, can you raise them up and say, can you lead now? Can she be a Sunday school teacher? Can she teach catechesis in the school? In the church? Can she be a secretary? So can he be an elder in my church? Do you know where I'm going? So that's another one too. And another challenge that I think you're going to have with this multi-ethnic symposium is also advocate for those things. Say, let's talk about that. Help to raise up and let them serve, because they also have gifts, especially after you train them and you taught them. I said, hey, I know that too. Can I show that I know? But then, no, you stay in your quarter there. No, Sarah, you're fine, but don't do this. And you stay there. I said, really? You brought me to church just for me to watch? You see, that's my point here. So that's the challenge I take. And learning, you'll be learning from people that have done that, Angie and Sarah. We have scholars talking about their experience, work with cross-cultural ministries. We have Dr. Spino from Boston. He will be teaching and talking about his Roman Catholic. He's not a priest. He's a lay person, but he is an expert, and he has written many books and training materials for the Catholic Church to raise up Hispanics. So he'll be the keynote speaker for the Hispanic lecture that we have that. So then Pastor Stephen Heimer, that works here in the International Center, now will be responding to his lecture. So we will have pastors that have done that in a long time, like Pastor Jeff Clater. He'll be talking about his own ministry, what he has done to raise up. So we'll have, Dr. Burson and Rhoda Schiller from Concordia St. Paul. She's retired now, talking about also this using a household of catechesis in the church. And then we're going to talk about the challenges too. How can we navigate that? Because they say this is not really easy. But doesn't mean that we shouldn't try, mm-hmm. right?
What do we need to know about registration, attending, all of those details so people can start marking their calendars and making their arrangements?
Well, if you want to register for the multi-ethnic symposium, of course, we have a registration cost of $85 per person, which includes the Festival of Nations dinner we'll have. Mm-hmm. And then if you like to have lunch on Tuesday and Wednesday, you pay extra $15 for each lunch. So it would be another $30 on top of the $85. And then you can go to csl.edu/multiethnic, or you can call Continuing Education's office, 314-505-7286, 314-505-7286. And you can call and register in that way. Also, you can email to CE, which means Continuing Education, CE@csl.edu. So, and then you can also register for the Multi-Ethnic Symposium. Just to let you know, after the Multi-Ethnic Symposium, right on that Wednesday, because we end at noon, beginning at noon, then we have what they call the Multi-Asian Gathering. And also, it's a kind of another multi-ethnic, but only emphasizing Asian people, Chinese, Japanese, monks. And they always meet at Concordia Seminar. So they come to attend the multi-ethnic symposium, and then they stay another day and a half to develop their own ministry. So they have agenda, they have speakers. So, and you also can register for that. It's only $25 per person, and you can stay longer than the multi-ethnic symposium if you have time. But that's the way you can register.
Very good. csl.edu. And you can find the edu/multi-ethnic. You can find information there. And you can look for continuing education, other opportunities on the website as well. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Ele Prieto, Associate Professor of Practical Theology and Director of the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary. Thank you so much for sharing with us about the upcoming multi-ethnic symposia May 6th and 7th at Concordia Seminary. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. So I hope you can come back again and have more conversations like this one.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.